Good to be here. I want to welcome Tony and Doreen. They've come not to spy on us, but to encourage us. They say, well, is there one thing that we could do for you that would really help you here in Durham? And I said, just come along on Sunday morning. We'd love to have you here. So it's good to their word. They are here on a Sunday morning. It's great, because Tony's going to be speaking on the 19th, Tuesday the 19th, on Ephesians. So finish our series off on Ephesians to be around on that Tuesday night, and then some really good teaching. You don't have to say, as I was preparing this talk this morning, it's on prayer. So I, at our weekend away, I came up to Tony and said, hey Tony, how do you pray? And he told me, and I thought, oh, I don't pray like that. And then I went to Hilton and I said, hey Hilton, how do you pray? And he went, oh, I'll do this. I don't pray like that. But what we hope to do this morning is to unpack what it is to pray. And maybe there's not a technique or a formula, but just a heart attitude. I've just discovered that if you hold your iPad and try and move things, the keyboard comes up and it writes all over. Don't get that with paper, do you? as a child, I supported a football team called Leicester City. And in those days, they weren't Premier League winners. They were losing more matches than they ever won, that's for sure. And there was one day, I can remember, I went to Filbert Street and I said, God, if Leicester win today, I'll definitely believe in you. And I think they were actually playing Sunderland, and I think Leicester won 2-0. But I don't think I believed in God anymore. I thought, hey, what a great team we've got. What an amazing group of players we have. But it didn't make my understanding and knowledge of who God was any deeper. So we're going to look at prayer, and we want to look at kind of three things, and this is where my notes are going all over the place. We're going to look at how we talk to God, how we listen to God, and who God and who the God is that we pray to. And afterwards we're going to split into three groups. One group is going to be led by Sue, and she's going to look at a psalm and how that can help us know God and meditate on the word. Michelle is going to help us with another group, help to use worship to get into prayer. And I'm going to lead a first group. If you don't know Jesus, never heard about him, would like to know how to follow him, you can come with me. So the first question is, who do we pray to? It's interesting, isn't it? Julian's come in today and said, I went to a meeting and there was lots of people and they went to pray. They were Syrians, Muslims, and they went off to pray. And I recently read that 30% of atheists, people who have no knowledge and understanding of who God is, in fact they say he doesn't exist, they pray. Which is quite something, isn't it? So people all around the world, we know, pray. But who do they pray to? And so we should say, well, who do we pray to? And I read in the book of Acts, where Paul talks about, he encounters a situation in Athens where he notices there's lots of temples and lots of places to go and worship and pray. He says, well, you've got all these temples, all these things to worship, these idols to worship, these gods. But I also notice you've got a god to an unknown, a statue to an unknown god. And I want to tell you about that god. And this is what he said. So if you've got a Bible, it's in Acts 17, it's verses 23. And those of you who have it, you've got a piece of paper. Yeah, that's right. For as I walked and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with an inscription to an unknown god. So you are ignorant of everything you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. So he's going to say who our God is. Who's the God? Who's my God? This is my God. You see, I identify with this. This is my God. pray if you could be willing to work. He says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and their boundaries of their lives. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live, move, and have our being. The God who made the world and everything in it. Yeah, just keep going through. And everything in it. The universe. The world. The heavens, the earth. He made you. He made me. Okay. Thank you. Bit far.
Sorry.
Spoiled my own thunder there.
Sorry.
Okay, so I didn't give you much instruction. In Genesis, the first book of the Bible, it tells us about God in more detail. He's the creator of all things, as we've seen. And you know, Paul Koshy was here with us last week, and he reminded us that we bear God's image. We are image bearers, that he created us for a relationship with him. So the God we pray to is the creator of the world, the Lord of heaven and earth. He gives life and breath. We're his children. We're his children. And if we're God's children, then the God we pray to is our Father. Some people might find that a bit difficult to understand that God could be their Father. You know, if they've had a bad relationship with their Father. But really, just, you know, the image that God is a good Father. I have to pass the personal experience to know that God is a good Father. And he's a loving Father. He loves us. He loved us so much that actually he gave himself for us. He gave Jesus to die for us on the cross. So that we can have a relationship with God. The relationship that mankind, he was prepared to heal and make a new. So, when Jesus talks and prays to the Father, to God, the Father, he calls him Abba, Father. That's an Aramaic word, which means Daddy, Daddy. And when we accept Jesus into our lives, what he did on the cross, we can call God our Father. We can call him Daddy. So that is who we pray to. We pray to our Father. Daddy. He loves us so much. He gave his Son. So that's when we pray, that's who we're praying to when we worship this morning. That's who we're praying to. That's the God we pray to. God doesn't require us to give anything, just accept him. We don't, no requirements placed in our lives. We just need to accept and follow after him. So what is prayer? You know, some of the answers I got when I asked people how do you pray, quite a lot of them say, well, it's a two-way conversation, isn't it? It's a conversation with God. That's what prayer is, it's a conversation. Can you imagine, can't you? If I approach Sue this way, she said, how's your day? I didn't say anything. Or we didn't speak to each other. What kind of relationship with that? We'd like go, you know, just, we wouldn't have a relationship. It would be a poor relationship, if anything. When I was in the police, and I'm sure this isn't just a police context story, but when you go for an interview, when we advertise for people to come into the police, or for any job within it, we would say, part of the advert would say, must be a good communicator. And people would come in and they would say, so what makes you think you should have this job? And they say, I am a great communicator. So we said, well, tell me about that. And they would say, you could see, they were good communicators, to express themselves. But we would always look for the evidence that they listened. And we would always want to know that not only could they give it the gab, but they would actually listen to what is being said, and how they listened was really important. So I thought, and I think that talking to God, or praying to God, is about talking and it's about listening. When I spoke to Hilton, he did it the other way around. He listened and then talked. Or did he do it? I don't know. But there is a kind of, I've taken, we're going to talk and then we're going to listen. It's interchangeable. You don't have to do it this particular way around. But it requires us to do both. So when we talk, Jesus taught us to pray. Jesus taught us to pray. It's called the Lord's Prayer, and it kind of gives us a model of how to pray. And it's a great prayer, but just simply repeating it. Who can repeat it for me? My Father. Amen.
This day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory, forever and ever.
That's good. Okay. But just simply doing that, however wonderful it was, is a joy to experience. We need more than just repeat, otherwise it becomes repetitive. And if you listen to Tony, he says sometimes on a morning when he's taking drawings, a cup of tea, and he's sitting in bed and praying, you know, a cup of tea. You said it sometimes feels like a liturgy. Well, it's not wrong, it's good to pray. But Martin Luther, who's a theologian from some years ago, talks about meditating on the Word of God. So he would use that. And he would say, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. What an amazing God. You're my Father. You love me. You care for me. And he would spend a lot of time thinking about what does each word mean? What does it mean to me? So the using the Bible helps us to get an appreciation for God is. And there are many places that can be helpful. As I said, Sue's going to lead us a workshop about using Psalm 19 to explore the Bible and how this can help us understand who God is and reflect back to God his goodness so that we can start saying how amazing, how wonderful, how caring God is. So Sue's going to do that using some imagery and some reflection. And I heard a guy called Phil Moore, he leads the church called Everyday Church. And he says, when we come to God in prayer, we're pleasing him. We're pleasing God. When we talk to God and tell him how wonderful he is, it gives him pleasure. So sometimes we think, oh, I need to pray because I've got this few things that I need to get done, need to happen. But actually, God's looking for us just to come and pray to him, to have a conversation, and to talk to him, because it gives him pleasure. Recently, Sue sent my dad a text, and it said, and I won't tell you all it said, but it said, just saying how wonderful he was. No matter what had happened, he was still loved. You know, my dad had gone through a bit of a trauma, and Sue sent a text just saying, doesn't matter, we love you, we're here for you, you're appreciated, etc. Can you imagine what that did to my dad? You know, how he would feel. You know, it's a bit like that when we come to God, when we say, how wonderful you are, God. How does that make you feel? And this morning, I have to smile. And Michelle was setting up the worship here. And I think Joe came in and said, oh, what a lovely dress you're wearing. Yeah, And I, but it's nice, isn't it, when we tell people, you know, how wonderful they look, or how wonderful they are, how pleasure. And that's what God feels. I think that's what God feels. God wants to know that from us it gives him pleasure. And we don't just come to him because it pleases him. God is not a slot machine. You know, it's not a transaction. You know, it's not putting in some device and, look, God, I need this, this, and this. Because I've been good, I've been doing all this. So now can you do this for me? And that sometimes, I have to say, that's the way I come. So first of all, we come to God with thankfulness. We tell him we love him. Secondly, we come and we tell him about things we've done and maybe not done so well. And that kind of self-awareness helps us understand that we can't do things without God's help. And we do start to come in that attitude, we recognise that we can't do it. God can. And how wonderful he is. It changes our perspective of situations. You know, when we know, we come to God and we say, you're wonderful, you're creator, you've done all these things. I can't do all these things, but Lord, will you help me? And there is power in that. We get our value from God, for what he's done for our lives. And that's opposite to what happens in society at the moment, where, oh, do I look good? Do I look this? Have I got the right job? Have I got the right car? Getting value from those things. But we get our value from our relationship with God. What he says about us, that we're his children and we're loved by him. Does this mean I can't ask God for anything? Well, the Bible's full of examples of people and situations where people ask for God for things. You know, we're encouraged to ask, seek, knock at the door. God wants us to ask. We're a church that believes in miracles, things happening, things changing, situations being transformed, and we've seen that throughout our lives, our Christian lives, we've seen that happen. And recently, I put a prayer letter out. I said, what do we need to pray for? And just some of the things that we asked for. Chris, to get funding for next year for his PhD. Mm-hmm. Bang! Adam! Yeah! Can I have a job? Yes! Empower, you know, he's got a great job, it's cool. You know what were you saying to me this morning? Feel fulfilled in that job? Flourishing. Yeah, it's brilliant. So when I ask for help and sustainability over the period that we're going through at the moment, and I feel we've got that. And Jill, off her crutches, well, you weren't able to move, were you? So that's great. Do you know what? We're still praying for some things. We're praying for new premises to gather on a Sunday. I don't know why, but, you know. Of course, we know that some of our prayers are, the answers to those prayers are no, or not yet, wait. And as we learn more about God, we know we can develop our understanding of why he's saying this and what he's saying to our lives. And if you want to explore that a bit more, can I just encourage you to listen to Sam Steamson on the website from Hexham Community Church, who does half an hour of just really clear, really good explanation of prayers that haven't been answered. Really, really good. Sam Steamson. Yeah. He's amongst other preachers, yeah. Tony Gray.
It's on the Hexham Community Church on their audio recordings of the publication. He's a young man, very gifted. He's about 4 weeks ago now, he's a
worshipper. So of course, we have to learn to listen to God as well as talk to him. Colossians 3:16 says, let the message of Christ dwell amongst you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in their hearts. And Michelle's going to lead a little workshop on that shortly. I listened to a guy called Tim Mackey. He describes himself as a Bible geek and theologian, and he helped me understand what listening means. And he took me to Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 6, and it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give to you today to be on your hearts." And the word he picked out there was "hear." That's a Hebrew word, Shema. But unfortunately, when that Shema is translated, it's only translated as "hear," as in "here." And he unpacks that a little bit more. And he says there are four things that about the word Shema or "hear." First one is, it's the background noise. You know, our oven, which is falling to bits, and has for many, many years, every 12 hours, the alarm goes off to say dinner's ready. It's just there, and sometimes you can come in here and you go, "Oh, that alarm's going," and you're doing nothing about it. It's in the background. It's like, you know, having the radio on. We just ignore it. It's there. It's the background. That's here. Second here is, it's a noise that grabs your attention. "Oh, what was that? Did you hear something? Oh, you know, I should go and do something about that. What was that? Come here." And here. "Oh, did you hear that? That sounds like a cry for help. Better go and help somebody. You hear a scream. Oh, let me go and do something about it." And here, you take the action. You hear something, and then as a result of that, you do something. So an example of that would be, when I was a sergeant in the police, I took a young PC out, night shift. We were out on patrol, dark, and he goes, "What's that?" "Oh, what is that? What is it?" "Two guys over there." "Oh, drive over. Let's go and find them." So we went over. We went to see them. It's like, "Here, what's that?" Found two guys there doing drugs. "Okay, come with us." "Oh, we need to get warm. Come with us." We arrested them. That led to a house search, which led to drug dealers being arrested. Not that I'm passionate about that, but it's great. "Here, do you see that? See, whoa, whoa, it's going to do something. Whoa, whoa." Ooh, that one thing made action to happen. What is God saying to you? The main way he speaks to us is through the Bible, not exclusively, but mainly. Are we listening? Is he saying, "Listen, listen, listen, listen"? Is he leading you into action and transforming our lives? Or are we resisting what God is saying to us? When we hear God, it gives us new perspectives of ourselves. He confirms our identity in Christ, and he changes and transforms us. When we know how to listen, we learn to pray in accordance with his will. In Mark 14:35, Jesus was approaching the cross, and he knew he was going to be killed on the cross. He fell to his knees at the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. He goes, "Abba, Father, take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but your will be done." You know, if God is saying something to you, are you resisting that? Or are you saying, "Yes, your will be done, no matter what"? When we know God's word for us, we're able to walk through circumstances, trials and tribulations, hurts and disappointments, can all be faced with the knowledge of who God is and who I am in God. When Sue got her diagnosis of breast cancer a few months ago, God spoke to me through his word. He didn't say anything, didn't say everything will be back to normal. But he did say he would be in the boat of a storm with me. And I'm learning to trust God a new way. I've learned about his eternal plan, his love for me, not just for a while I'm here on earth, but eternally. My identity is in God who created me. That doesn't change through those circumstances. Jesus prayed, let the cup pass away, but he still submitted to God. So just in conclusion, the God we pray to is a loving God. He is Father God. He loves you and he sees you as a very, very special person. He is the creator. He made the heavens and the earth, and he has plans and purposes for you. You can know him by praying to him, by telling him that you're sorry for the things you've done, and ask for forgiveness, and ask him to become your God. Prayer is active and involves listening. While there's any formula, I think, that it includes praise, thankfulness, confession of our inability, and a declaration of God's ability. The heart of prayer is a deepening relationship. God uses his word to help us pray. It helps us to find out what his will is, and our hearts are stirred to pray in accordance with that will. He leads us to action. We believe when we pray, God acts and changes and transforms things. Praying to God pleases him. You tell God you love him, but you can't do it by the word. So, if you would like to know who Father God is, you'd like to know if you want to call him Daddy, then I'm going to take anybody who'd like to do that, explore that, come into the lounge here with me. If you would like to develop your prayer life using psalms, the soup, the snow, and stay here. It's your choice. Doesn't matter. You've got to be offended if nobody comes to one room.